No vax, no visit. The Prime Minister's given the strongest indication yet that unvaccinated travellers won't be welcome in Aotearoa. At a press conference with Dr. Ashley Bloomfield, she detailed the timeline for immunising the bulk of the population against COVID. People in priority group 4 are being clumped into smaller age-based groups. 60-pluses will go first. They'll be invited to book in the last days of July, and the last cab off the rank are the under-35s. They're expected to get the call-up to book for a vaccination in October. The Prime Minister remains confident people who want a jab will get one before the end of the year.
Based on the delivery and the supply of vaccine, we're working towards it taking till the end of the year to vaccinate all those who are eligible. And that's simply because we are vaccinating as many people as we can based on the doses we have, but we won't be receiving all of our doses for everyone until the end of October. So that's why it'll take us through to the end of the year.
Is that later than expected, Prime Minister?
No, that's exactly as we've expected. You will have heard us talk consistently about the vaccination program taking us through to the end of the year.
The October delivery, though, for the bulk?
Oh, actually, that is a little bit earlier than perhaps we'd anticipated. But, of course, once you receive it, then you need to work through that distribution. So, broadly speaking, the year.
Given that your timetable to complete the bulk of vaccination is the end of the year...
Yeah.
Can you talk us through your timetable for adjusting the border restrictions?
Look, this is something that we continue to assess based on what we're seeing internationally. And helpfully, of course, there are some countries who are varying up their border restrictions, albeit they don't have the same approach to COVID as us, but they are varying up their border restrictions alongside their vaccination rollout. So that will give us a bit of an indication as to whether or not that can be done safely. I think what we can share for now, though, and we are asking our expert groups, like Professor David Skeggs and his team, to go away and consider what a vaccination rollout will mean for the way that we operate our borders in the future. So we're doing that work right now.
Have they given you a number, Prime Minister? Like, OK, 80% is the sweet spot for opening up for people from low-risk countries without MIQ?
So we have asked for some of that modelling to be done, and with different factors... for instance, you know, if you have pre-departure testing and arrival testing, how does that vary the way that you're able to work? And we expect some of that modelling to come through in the near future, and it's likely that that those who do the modelling will be sharing that directly. I think the most important 2 points that I would make: having a large proportion of our population vaccinated, as many people as possible who are eligible, gives us the greatest amount of freedom and opportunity. I think it's everyone's goal in New Zealand to live without a state of fear that we're going to have another lockdown. Now, that does not mean that we're going to have a situation where everyone will be vaccinated and the borders just one day will open. We will need to still have caution around our borders because of variants and because not every other country will be in the same position as us. But if we have as many as possible vaccinated, that reduces risk, and it gives us a chance to change the way we do things at our border.
While you've given us an indicative time frame for completing the vaccination in December, can you give
us... That's, of course, our plan. Yeah. Everyone has a role to play in that.
But can you also give us an indicative plan for announcing something around the border or give us an indication of, OK, we expect to be finished vaccinating by December, so in October we'll start telling you what we think about the border?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're working to. So we're doing the thinking... So we're doing the thinking now. Some of the modelling's being done now, and we're having some of our experts consider this these questions now as well. Keeping in mind, you'll hear internationally that some of the thresholds people are talking about are still changing quite a bit, and so are some of the models at the border. So everyone is writing the rule book as we go. The difference for New Zealand is that we've got a different rule book to write. I think what everyone will want to do is maintain the flexibility we have. Once you get rid of an elimination strategy, or anyone chooses to get rid of an elimination strategy, it's very hard to come back to it. So for New Zealand, it's about how do we preserve our position whilst having a bit more freedom at the border. But I think the idea that any country in the world will suddenly turn off all of their measures at once, I don't think anyone's considering that.
Can you give me a definitive on whether you will expect people to be vaccinated in order to enter New Zealand?
That's not a decision that's being made as yet, but I was just recently looking at all of the border requirements globally. A large proportion of countries, particularly within the EU, are requiring vaccination.
Is that where you're leaning then?
Oh, look, I think New Zealanders would have an expectation that if they have made the effort to keep themselves safe by being vaccinated, that those who are wishing to visit New Zealand should show a similar sense of responsibility. And actually, it's becoming a global trend, so I think it would be very unusual if New Zealand didn't have some of those requirements. Keep in mind, it will hopefully give us more flexibility about the way we deal with managed isolation.
Dr. Bloomfield, the over 65s who are getting the call up now in Auckland, they're getting a text message which is telling them to go online. Is that what they're using to book their vaccination appointments?
Yeah. Not yet.
Okay.
The Auckland Metro region is using the system it's had in place right from the start, and because they have many, many bookings already on there, it's going to be the one that we will migrate across to the new system after all the other DHBs are on, because there's a lot of data to migrate across.
How's it coping? Because we're getting a lot of feedback from listeners, texts and emails saying that it locks them out of their accounts, they can't get past go, and it's very complicated in terms of getting on there to book. How's it functioning?
I don't have the detail, but what I can say is every DHB has a call centre, most of them an arrangement with Healthline, Whakarangaro, to help people who are having trouble making bookings. I think, you know, the key thing I want to emphasise here is we have been really, we've put a lot of focus on making sure our national booking system, when it comes online, has a lot of capacity, because it's great, there is a lot of interest, and we want to be able to cope with all that interest. But to back that up, there will also be an opportunity for people who either are not able to or don't want to book online, or who are having difficulties, they will be able to ring the call.
What's your confidence level around the Book My Vaccine's ability to handle the kind of influx you're going to get?
Yeah, we've got a high level of confidence in that. The core system on which it's based, A, is in the cloud, so there's enormous capacity there, but B, it has been also used essentially in California already and has been used to roll out, you know, over 14 million vaccinations through that booking system. So we're confident that it will be able to cope with the demand.